Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Richard Stallman, who invented the GNU software system, which is still used today as part of Linux, once described free software as free as in free speech, not as in free beer. Free software is one kind of open source software, though these days it's not the only one. Over the years, we've often mentioned open source software on this program as a way to obtain software that costs nothing for the software itself, and that enables anyone who's interested to inspect and even change the code that the software is written in. There are some variations in the licenses that underlie what's called open source software today, but these two characteristics, you can view and change the source code, and there's no cost for the software itself, are common to all varieties of open source software. So, is anybody using the stuff now? Well, the chances are pretty good that you are, in one way or another. Open source web browsers, for example, account for far more than half of the browsers used in the internet worldwide, including Mozilla's Firefox and Google's Chrome. Google Chrome is built on an open source platform called Chromium, and so are other browsers, a couple of which, White Hat Aviator and Epic, are probably the most secure browsers publicly available today. And even if you don't use one of these browsers, if you use the web at all, you're probably using open source software even though you might not know it. The Linux operating system and Apache web server software are used on the majority of the websites in the world. And chances are also pretty good that you have, at least once or twice, consulted Wikipedia, the open source encyclopedia. In fact, you can probably find an open source software program to do almost anything that you want to do on your computer. Need an office suite? Take a look at OpenOffice, or LibreOffice, or NeoOffice. For almost any purpose, they work as well as commercial programs like Microsoft Office, and they can live on your computer, unlike online programs like Google Docs or Zoho. Are you more the creative type who likes to make digital art? If so, you probably use Photoshop. But since Adobe has moved all of their software online and made users pay a monthly fee, a lot of folks are looking for alternatives. For dealing with photos and graphics, you may want to take a look at the open source software program called GIMP, which stands for the GNU Image Manipulation Program. Chances are pretty good that you'll be able to do anything you like to do in Photoshop, but with no monthly fees, or any fees, right in the privacy of your own computer. The list goes on. Need to manage your money? Take a look at GNU Cash. Want a program to play audio or video? Many think that VLC or Miro are even better than proprietary alternatives like Movie Player or iTunes. Maybe you'd like to record and edit your own audio programs. Audacity will do the job quite nicely. And if you want to fool around with the data that your new Ford automobile is generating, or maybe even reprogram some of your Ford's onboard technology, soon you'll be able to do that using OpenXC, open source software. If you're interested in taking a look at the variety of free open source programs available or in development, surf on over to www.sourceforge.org. There are over 430,000 projects registered there, and folks generate almost 5 million downloads a day on the site. Sounds like a pretty successful movement. In fact, the open source software movement has been so successful that it's spawned a variety of open source initiatives that are not particularly software-centered. Need a hardware chip that you can program to do all sorts of things, to essentially become your own small computer? The Raspberry Pi fills the bill. You do pay for the physical materials in the chip, but not for the intellectual property behind it, or for any profits to owners. In fact, you can get the plans and make your own chip if you'd like. It's open source hardware. The Pi in Raspberry Pi, by the way, is spelled P-I, like the mathematical constant, not P-I-E, like what we like to have for breakfast here in New England. These days, more and more of the expense of going to college centers on the cost of textbooks. In some places, the cost of textbooks totals over $1,000 a year or more. One answer? You guessed it. Open source textbooks. Or more exactly, open source educational resources, OER. These are texts with copyright provisions that allows anyone to access and use them, and, just like with open source software, allows users to modify and redistribute the texts as long as they remain free. To see some examples, take a peek at www.merlot.org. Yep, it's spelled just like the wine, but it's really an acronym for Multimedia Educational Resource for Learning and Online Teaching. It's run by the California State University. One of the more interesting recent efforts to extend the concept of open source is the Open Source Seed Initiative, an effort by a group of plant breeders and farmers to provide an alternative to patented seeds from giant companies like Monsanto and DuPont. This group recently released 29 new varieties of 14 different crops, including favorites like carrots, kale, and broccoli. The twist? Anyone who wishes to use these seeds can use and exchange them freely, but cannot legally convert them into any proprietary patented product. This is a very recent initiative, so it's early days yet to see what type of impact the effort will or won't have on agriculture. Probably not wise to hold our breath hoping to see large seed racks in hardware stores from major producers featuring these new seeds. But two small seed companies, High Mowing Organic Seeds from Vermont and Wild Garden Seed out in Oregon, will be adding some of these varieties to their catalogs. So, open source isn't just for software anymore. It extends into many parts of life, including community radio. For example, you're free to download and copy this program and distribute it however you'd like, as long as you include information about where it came from. That's because this program, like many WERU programs, carries a Creative Commons license, a sort of open source license for intellectual materials, and we'll discuss that in more detail right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.